Well, joining us now, we have the chief business officer, but we just call him the commissioner of the Symetra Tour, Mr. Mike Nichols. Mike, welcome back into the golf shop.
Good to be back. Morning, guys.
Yeah, I just call him back. Whenever he calls me, I call him back.
You know, it's got to be great. We had one event a few weeks back, and now we're starting to get into the actual schedule. So it's got to be nice to kick off the season into full swing, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, we'll play 23 times across the country. And, you know, we started out in California. And as you say, we're sort of hitting the heart of our schedule now with 3 weeks in 3 weeks in Florida, take a week off, play a couple times in the Carolinas and over to Atlanta. So this is really sort of the heart of the schedule. And we're looking forward to see what the season has in store for us.
Yeah, Mike, you and I have been at this in Charlotte. This will be our fifth year. But when we started here in Charlotte, the tour had really, you know, it had gotten to a point where there was 12, 13 events. And now, you know, you're looking at possibly doubling that. What does that mean for the health of the game and the commitment to this developmental tour?
Well, I think the thing and the analogy I like to talk about is when you think about the opportunities to play professional golf, you know, in the NFL, there's, you know, 2,000 guys who are playing in the NFL and consider themselves NFL players when you look at the 32 teams. And when you look at professional golf at any level, you know, there's 144 ladies playing on the LPGA Tour any given week. So the amount of players for the amount of talent out there, there's not a lot of opportunity. So golf, as with any sport, is one of those sports that just requires repetition and being in the competitive situation. So, you know, that's what the Symetra Tour does, is for these ladies who, you know, either need the time or, you know, whether it's the rehab or just trying to sort of shave that last stroke off their score. By having a tour that plays 23 times around the country, gives these ladies the opportunity to get those reps and hopefully, you know, fulfill their dream of joining the LPGA Tour someday.
Yeah, I mean, the Symetra Tour really is the AAA baseball of golf, of ladies golf. And, you know, I see it personally, but I don't know, is there any data to prove out what I'm seeing with my eyes, that the level of play, the quality of play really continues to improve every year?
Yeah, I think in what's happening is, and we'll probably see it more as we go, and, you know, it's been talked about quite a bit, with the advent of golf, or I guess not the advent because it was there 100 years ago or whatever, but with the return of golf to the Olympics really has changed the dynamic for a lot of countries that, you know, their Olympic efforts are invested in by the government. You know, in the U.S. that doesn't happen, but in other countries the government invests in what they call podium sports. So the international reach of golf, now that it's back in the Olympics, that reinvestment is happening. So that's just going to put more young ladies into the game from around the world. And then obviously, you know, the more people who are doing it, the higher the competitive level goes. And so it's without question, the depth of play on the Symetra Tour. I've only been with the Symetra Tour for 4 years, but talking to players who may have played it in the past and have come back for whatever reason, you know, have said the difference in the sort of the caliber of play and the depth of the fields week in and week out on the Symetra Tour is the highest it's ever been. And I think a lot of that is, as we built out the tour, it makes it a more attractive place for players to play as opposed to going back maybe to Europe and playing on their home tour after they've played competitively in college here. Some have in the historically returned and said, I'll go play the Ladies European Tour, but now the Symetra Tour is viable and, you know, obviously provides the most direct pipeline to the LPGA Tour. It's definitely helping create that next generation of talent.
Yeah, and I will say one thing that y'all have done really well, and I know it's probably not the easiest thing in the world because, you know, events are based on sponsorship, and sponsorship is based on maybe where a company is located. But y'all have done a really good job in terms of trying to package up the schedule so that travel becomes so much easier for the women out on this tour. You know, you get some stretch runs down in Florida, then you kind of move up through South Carolina into North Carolina, then over into Georgia, then up into Massachusetts and New York. And how hard is it to keep that kind of scheduling so that you keep the travel costs down for the women?
It's, you know, as we go in prospect events, like I was actually at a conference this last week talking to some folks in, you know, out on the West Coast who were like, hey, would you consider coming out here to the West Coast? And they'd be sort of in the Pacific Northwest as opposed to, you know, down in the South where you can play the earlier part of the year. And, you know, they say, would you ever think about it? And it's kind of one of those where maybe a couple years ago, like Mike was alluding to, when we had sort of, you know, 15 tournaments, it might be a lot easier to say, yeah, we'll give it a shot. But now that we're to the point where we've got 23 events and probably want to cap it out at 25, we're at this point, we can be a little bit more selective and really target cities specifically, or, I mean, not necessarily cities, but general geographic regions where it makes the most sense to add the event. Because in addition to the ladies traveling, you know, we have a whole traveling staff that brings our own equipment to sort of set up the events too. So selfishly for our staff that travel from week to week, it's best to have the events, you know, in somewhat close proximity. If we can, you know, string together some events that are 3 or 4 hours apart, and then when we have sort of a longer run, take a week off to sort of let everybody breathe, but also move on to the next stop. So it's definitely something that we're very cognizant of as we look to grow the schedule.
Well, and recently, I mean, how much of the, you know, the boost that the tour has gotten is directly attributed to Mike Wann, the LPGA commissioner, to his commitment to this tour, and you can probably elaborate on why he loves it so much and thinks it's so important. And then Symetra Financial, which, you know, really is a big company out west, and they're increasing their footprint east. But, you know, how much of the growth can be attributed to those two factors?
Well, I think it's definitely a rising tide type situation, you know, to sort of use that cliche. But as, you know, the LPGA has sort of found a resurgence under the real commissioner.
Mike, you're our real commissioner.
but the actual commissioner. But as the LPGA Tour has grown, there's been more interest in the LPGA Tour. And at the same time, not every community can necessarily afford to host an LPGA Tour event or Champions Tour or PGA Tour event for that matter. So as people have, you know, inquired and said, hey, we'd like to have an LPGA tournament, and sometimes you just look and the economics of it are such that you know, it's just not going to work for that community. But we provide, you know, a cost effective for some communities opportunity to see the next generation of LPGA Tour stars. And as you said, Mike, sort of provide a AAA baseball experience for some of these other communities. And then, as you said, you know, the tour really is underwritten across the schedule by Symetra Financial, based out of Bellevue, which is essentially Seattle, Washington. And they've been a great partner. You know, they've renewed with us twice. They're out through 2021 now. So for them to be a partner of the tour for a 10-year relationship is really substantial in sort of the modern world of corporate sports environment. To have somebody who's that committed to the tour for this long of a time is really something.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to being the tour sponsor, they're the presenting sponsor of our event here in Charlotte, and the one down that ends the season in Florida later in the year. And it's just that kind of stability, I think, is great. Now, when you're out talking to people and they ask you about your events, I've heard a rumor that Charlotte has a vibe that's a little different. As somebody who's probably somewhat responsible for that vibe, I'm afraid to ask, but is that true? Is our event thought of somewhat differently?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, as you know, Mike, with the addition of the rock the putt sort of you know, a festive vibe there at Raintree Country Club, it's definitely a fun place to go. I know the players every year look forward to participating in that event along with some of our sponsors. So it's definitely a fun place for the players to return every year. And we're grateful, obviously, your efforts and John's efforts and the support of the sponsors there, because it's we love coming back every year.
Mike, when we start talking about maybe, you said 25 events would be awesome. Let me ask this. I know not all of the tournaments have like I'm just going to use the term, the Monday qualifier, like even the web.com tour or PGA Tour events have. Would you look at something like that in the future to have a couple of spots available for a qualifying tournament for people to get into it? Is that kind of the next step in the progression to continuing to expand opportunities to get into these tournaments?
Yeah, and it's something that is sort of on my to-do list. I mean, I won't bore you or your listeners with the logistics. It's just sort of challenging because as we talk about sort of rolling from event to event, and, you know, 1 week we're here and the next week we're here, what we don't have is sort of the luxury of an advanced staff that we do on the LPGA who will set up the golf course so that when the players arrive on Monday, it's set up for a qualifier. So it's definitely something we're looking at, trying to figure out the best way to do that. But you know, it sort of struck me when I was at our tournament in Rochester a couple years ago, and there was a player who I hadn't seen before, and I asked the rules official who she was, and they're like, oh, she's the 10th alternate. And I'm like, the 10th alternate is here? Like, and that's when it really struck me that, you know, the demand to play on the tour is so great. And, you know, if the ladies don't have a good, you know, they have to go through the three stages of Q school to get there. And, you know, if for whatever reason and during one of those sort of 4-day tournaments, they don't necessarily have their best week, they're out for the year. So being able to allow a top player to maybe play in on a week-to-week basis and then sort of earn their card and earn their way onto the tour that way is something that we definitely are looking at.
Well, and this year, and really I noticed it in past years when we had 10 or more people on the alternate list actually standing around playing, wondering if they were going to get in. You know, this year we sit, again, right after Greenwood, which is great because it's regional. But we're also between, on the big tour, Alabama and Kingsmill. Geographically, we may have some people trying to swing through from the big tour and play. I'm looking at my list right now. We have 55 names on the alternate list. 55. Now, they won't all show up, but 55. I think that points to the health of the game for sure.
Oh, there's no question. Like I said, I mean, you just think about the sort of dearth of opportunities. Not to say that we as the tour aren't sort of doing our part, but you know, the fact of the matter is when you only have 144 playing spots in an LPGA tournament and 144 playing spots on the Symetra Tour every week, you know, there's definitely more demand than that for these young ladies who want to dream of playing. So, you know, their best chance of getting onto the LPGA Tour, like it or not, is to hopefully, you know, get in and be one of the qualifiers, one of the alternates who gets into the tournament. Maybe has a good week and by virtue of that get sort of reshuffled in so they can play the balance of the year. So, you know, it does. It speaks to the health of the tour. It speaks to the demand and sort of how many people, you know, as we look back sort of historically at Title IX and how that's gotten so many more young girls into the sport initiatives like we have with the United States Golf Association, the LPGA USGA Girls Golf. My 8-year-old daughter participates in that and each month gets together with some of her friends and sort of gets exposed to the game that way. So the more young ladies and young guys, obviously, too, that we get into the game, the stronger the health of the golf industry overall will be.
Well, Mike, man, we really appreciate you hopping on with us, and we look forward to a great season, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you again.
Sounds good. I look forward to seeing you guys in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks a lot.